to check out a great book about the computer repair business, check out Daniel Hand's book at podnuts.com/Dan's book. That's podnuts.com/Dan's book, no apostrophe. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 326. The show for computer repair technicians like you guys, or just computer repair enthusiasts, or even if you just like computers. I mean, people like this show. And it's cool because we bring on people in the field who do repairs, have businesses, like to train people on computers, and can enlighten us all on computers and fixing computers. And it works out really well. Hopefully you guys get something out of it. I hope you will. I think you will. Let me introduce today's guests, and we will get rolling here. James Messer is joining us from ProfessorMesser.com. What's up, James?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Like I was telling James before the show started, like, look at his setup. If you're watching on video, he's got a nice mic. He's got a great webcam, or actually it's a camcorder. He's all set up. So this is a pleasure. It's a pleasure for me to
receive this. An evolution to get to this point, and we can even talk about where this started, because it's probably a similar story for you, that when you start this, you're learning as you go. You find whatever you've got, you plug it in, and you just go with it. And it's taken a while to finally get here, but this is my first broadcast, my first recording I'm doing from the updated studio. So it's good that it's looking okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, hey, if this is your first time from a new place, I usually have all kinds of technical difficulties when I do that. That's why I haven't touched my rig in a long time, and I won't. But tell us a little history about yourself, and then, what we're going to be talking about and what you want to bring to the show, and then we'll get rolling.
Well, this is ProfessorMesser.com, this experience and this community that we've created on our website's one that we've done over a series of years, really. The idea of how this all came about was, I would have relatives tell us all the time, I'm sure this happens to you, I've got a problem with my computer, or I've taken my computer somewhere to get it repaired, and I'm just not happy with the results that I'm getting. I'm not happy with who's working on it. I don't trust what they're doing. It is the universal problem we have as people who are trying to work on computers, is gain that trust and be knowledgeable about what we're doing. And so I thought about that and wondered, why is it that everybody's complaining about a certain place they're taking it, or just complaining in general that they're not able to get people to fix things the way they would hope? So I started looking on the internet to see what resources might be available, and I really didn't find very much. If you wanted to be right out of school, or you just wanted to learn more about how to do some of these things, it was not a very easy task just to find the materials that you would need to learn it. And another thing I noticed is a lot of the training materials that are out there are hundreds and hundreds, in some cases, thousands of dollars just to purchase an entry-level course. And there's the problem, of course, is that if you're somebody who's just getting started, you don't have thousands of dollars to invest in something like that. So I thought there's an opportunity there. And so what we started doing is creating training videos, specifically training videos that would get somebody certified in some of the most popular certifications. And that's how this started. The real twist we put on it was, how can we do this and make every single one of the videos available for free? And at the time, YouTube was just getting started. There were a number of other different type of streaming solutions out there. There were limitations on the size of video, but we went ahead and started doing that. We started rolling out absolutely free videos. So for the past few years, if you wanted to get an A+ certification, a Network Plus certification, now a Security Plus certification, or even Microsoft certifications, you can now go to our website, go to our YouTube channel, and watch every single video, hours and hours and hours of an entire training class for absolutely nothing. Just watch it for free.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And so you figured out how to give it away for free, but I'm assuming that you want to support this somehow. So how do you support it at the same time?
Well, it's a couple of different ways, and it's nothing that's new or unusual or different. It's very similar to the model we use when we sit down and watch television, at least here in the United States, is that you turn on the TV, and other than paying for the channels, the feed coming in, you just watch whatever show you'd like. You can watch any show on NBC, on ABC, on CBS. You're not putting a quarter in every time you'd like to watch the next episode. And so that was the model I adopted, was, how can I just put it out there? And of course, in the United States, it's sponsored by commercials. And on the internet, that's sort of a built-in thing. In many ways, people come to expect that when they go to a website, is that there's some ads wrapped around the video that happens to be there. And so that's one opportunity we have to be able to supplement the expenses that we have on the website and the upkeep and the having the servers themselves and the constant maintenance. But we've also got what we call a freemium, if you will. Take that word premium, mix the free, because some people would like to be able to see these videos offline. Right. And right now, if for free, you can watch it online. But what if I'd like to take MP3s with me? What if I'd like to put it on my iPhone or my iPad or my Android device? What if I'd like to walk around with this right. and see it when I wasn't on the internet? So we do have packages, DVD-ROMs that we'll sell for much less than if you were buying a full-blown course from somewhere else, but it's one that adds some additional revenue and keeps the site going.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good. And are the DVDs and the other downloadable content, is that like a higher resolution than what you get on online, or is this pretty much the same?
It is higher resolution. Okay. One of the advantages we have in a DVD-ROM format is I don't have to worry about bandwidth. Right. I don't have to worry about packaging it a certain way or dealing with a lot of codecs. And it is frustrating sometimes if you've ever put video out on YouTube and it looks great when you're uploading it and then you get it to YouTube, it doesn't sound the same. It doesn't look the same. So fortunately, in today's technology and what we're dealing with, it's so easy to have an HD camera, to have editors on your computer that you can edit these things and do something with. And so we're able to have 720p high resolution. We were the first training company to create and produce and provide 720p HD training in some of these training technologies. So in some ways, we're a little bit ahead of the game.
That's awesome. That is awesome. It's true. I mean, back when I produced my laptop repair videos in 3 years ago, I'm like, I want to do HD and I want them all to be HD and that'll be my selling point. You know, people are going to get a nice crisp video. And it worked out. I bought an HD camera and I filmed them, but it's all comes down to that bandwidth squeeze when people try to download them. And now, 3 years later, I've backed off of HD, and I say, anything I'm producing now, I'm just going to do, if it's going online, it's 480p. I'm not even going to go higher than that.
Right.
So it's still, the bandwidth is still like the constraint here. But like you said, anything you could sell physical, you know, blow it up. So it's cool. And I think it's really smart how you're doing it.
I think we've also noticed that our computers have gotten faster. We're able to produce more video and edit more video. And we see this with things that we would produce at home, our home videos and our home pictures and that type of thing. And now what you're seeing is people running into those bandwidth limits that we're now becoming a lot more prevalent. People are really noticing now because they're streaming the Netflix, they're streaming Hulu,
right?
And they'd like to be able to do that. And the cable companies are absolutely encouraging this, but unfortunately we've got these locks on it. So there again, the balancing act and the doing a lower resolution online is actually a pretty good idea right now.
Yeah, it is. Now, your videos are about certifications mainly?
They are. Primarily certifications. We're looking to expand that out into other areas, but right now we're focusing on technology topics that can take people who don't know something about that particular topic and give them something that they can use to move their career forward. So right now that's A+ certification from CompTIA. It's Network Plus certification and Security Plus, which is a brand new one that we've put out there recently. And I've also done a Microsoft certification as well. So people that are wanting to know about taking Windows 7, configuring it, installing it, and deploying it, the 7680 Windows 7 course is also available.
Oh, wow. Just going to show you the site now to everybody who has not been there yet. It's professormesser.com. Nice, clean layout. I like it. These boxes here, are these the DVDs?
Oh, we got there's a book I wrote originally that kind of started this whole thing on Nmap, and we created a course on Nmap, and we were talking about building out this. That video course for Nmap was one that I started with the basic configuration. You didn't see me in the videos. I wasn't a talking head, which is an important part, I think, of this technology that we have of creating community. It's an important part of my videos today. But at that time, I didn't have a way to do a picture in a picture. Right. And I literally was using garage lights. I mean, like 2000 watt halogen garage lights with some paper over them to diffuse the light a little bit. And we would film for literally 15 minutes. And we're in our house. It's a home office and it's burning up.
Oh,
it's so hot. I'm in Florida, I'm in Tallahassee. It's in the summer and we'd have to turn it off, clear the room out, and then do another 15 minutes. Not very productive
at
doing that, but it was all to tape. We took it off of tape. We digitized it. So it was very time consuming.
Wow.
We can now think back at how lovely that was and how happy we are. We don't have to do that anymore.
Seriously. I did the garage light thing, not to the degree you did, but after like an hour of them on. I said, forget it. I don't care if they're $6 at Home Depot. I'm not using them.
Yep. That was a Thanksgiving turkey. No more of that.
Seriously. All right. Well, what did you want to talk about? We'll go over anything you have in your notes and on your agenda here, and I'll chime in questions as I get them.
Well, I wanted to take this topic of certification and twist it around to how the people in the Podnuts community look at this as well. I've been hanging out a lot on TeamSpeak, talking with the people there, learning more about their world and what they're doing with it. And we talk back and forth about some of the challenges they have. And it's intriguing the intricacies, the details they have to go into to understand how to remove some of the malware and how to solve these technical problems. And then on top of that, and you've spoken about this so many times in Podnuts podcasts, about the business side of things and how complex it is to do the marketing and do the hiring and do the firing and manage the accounting and all of the other pieces that go along with it.
Right.
And certainly when you think about certification as an individual, you're thinking about, how can I move up in the rank? How can I get a job? How can I do something really interesting in technology? But from the perspective of the people that view your videos and your podcasts, you need to know about hiring somebody and what options are out there. Should you even be looking for somebody who's certified? How important really is it for Right. somebody to be certified when you're going through that hiring process?
Sure.
It is a bit of a challenge, because if you look at the industry, there are so many different certifications out there. I'm somebody that sits down and does this for a living. I look at all of these different certifications. I download the certification types. I look to see what's involved with them, what you would have to know to pass that certification. And there's so much overlap. Some of the organizations that do these certificates don't necessarily tell you a lot about what goes into creating the certifications. And so you do run into some of these challenges of understanding, if you get somebody A+ certified, what does that really mean?
Right.
Is it worthwhile? CompTIA, I guess, has about, they have about 20 or so different certifications, but I would imagine at least in the United States, the A+, the Network Plus, and the Security Plus are probably most well-known. A lot of people also are interested in the Server Plus and Linux Plus, and those tend to be entry level. If you're looking for somebody to start out at a help desk or start off at a tech bench, that's a really good one to look for that type of thing.
Hmm.
Mostly, if you're getting into that world and you're going ahead, you're getting maybe into corporate IT. A lot of people look at the Cisco line of certifications as well. Those are probably the two most important ones, is A+ and Cisco, or at least the most popular ones. And perhaps not the most important, but certainly ones that people are really, really interested in knowing more about. And of course, Microsoft certifications. And we were talking about this in the TeamSpeak the other week, that before coming on, I was doing some studying about just what is available in Microsoft. What should my next course be? What should I choose from? And I got a list of every exam that is available that you could take from Microsoft today. And so we did a closest to the pin, and I'll have you guess just how many different certifications, different exams rather, could you go right now to an exam center and take that would be from Microsoft?
You want me to guess?
Take a number. Just pick a number.
Oh, gosh. I was going to say, I'll bring it down. I was going to say something very inflated, but let's say 137.
So you've got the Windows, you've got all of the things associated with Office, you add them all up, and you have over 330 different certifications to choose from.
Wow.
So imagine not just someone who's trying to figure out what certifications they get, but then you've got somebody hiring and trying to figure out, is this Microsoft certification any good? So there's of course challenges associated with that.
It's like a bloated. It's a bloated company. When you put it that way, it's like there's bloated software, and that just put it in perspective that Microsoft is a bloated company.
What they've done is they've taken these certifications and exams, and they've broken them down for different types of people too. So you've got Microsoft partners. They have their own set of exams. You've got students. They have a completely different set of exams. And so you're starting to see a little bit of that bureaucracy certainly creep into that. But on the plus side, there's an exam for everybody. Just pick whatever you'd like. You're covered.
How do you resolve that in your training videos? Do you have 137 300 and something different training courses?
There's laws of physics that apply, and I don't sleep a lot, but I do sleep, and unfortunately, I have to pick and choose.
Right.
What I've been doing most recently is just choosing whatever's the newest thing. I did the Windows 7 course about a year ago because I knew that people would need to know more about Windows 7, so that was a good choice. And right now, I'm just finished my Security Plus. We're about to start some other ones, So I'm trying now to figure out, do I do Microsoft? Do I do a different CompTIA course? What am I going to do? Or do I do a little bit of everything? And so that is a huge challenge for me, trying to figure out what to do next. And then, of course, you got people like Cisco that even last week before, came out with a whole different line, a completely new series of certification exams for people that are just getting into networking and into security.
Really?
So that's kind of taking the place of a lot of the CompTIA things. In some ways, we'll see if it really does. A lot of people don't know about them yet. We haven't really seen them yet, but they're very, very, of course, focused on Cisco and their world of things. And then you've got everything else. You've got other security exams. You've got networking exams. You've got Apple exams. And certainly the market share is creeping up a little bit. And we've been talking on TeamSpeak about some opportunities there. Can we repair iPhones? Is there a place for that? There are a lot of people that need that type of thing. There's a new iPhone coming out soon. There's some things we should be looking at for that as well. So it is a challenge to figure out all of those pieces. So when somebody walks in and they say, I'd like a job and I have this certification, now you as the hiring person have to decide, is that a good thing or is that not?
Right.
And I would think most of the time you are looking at some of the newer certifications, the A plus, the Network plus, perhaps some of the Microsoft exams. And it ties into what you're doing as a company as well and what your focus is and where you'd like to go with it. There is an interesting part of this because we've had a lot of conversations about this in TeamSpeak. And I do have to reiterate that certification is just one of those things. You don't have to be certified to find somebody who would be worth hiring. Obviously, in an organization where you're working with people so closely, you've got usually a small business, a small group of people. You have to consider if somebody's going to be a right fit for the organization. Did they show up dressed okay? How's their hygiene? Are they going to work well with people? Or do we have to keep them in a locked room? Are they knowledgeable in general with what they're doing? Hmm. Just because you don't have a cert doesn't mean you're not knowledgeable in that. But you do have to consider when somebody shows up with an A+, they already know about IPv6. They've already installed Windows 7. Those are some of the latest requirements of the A+ exam. So at least you've got a baseline. They may not be experts in those things, but at least you know some of the things they went through to finally get to that point to get that certification.
Right. Kind of like how most people think they need a bachelor's degree to get certain jobs, and that's what employers look for. It's like, did they at least pass this? At least I know what I'm dealing with. Gives them some type of baseline. You're right. This is very interesting. I really like what you're doing here. Now, do you the training videos, do you get certified in each one of these things before you create the video training, or how do you do that?
Sometimes I do it before I do the training, but actually most often, especially with things that I've never done before, I'll do the training, dive into it, do very detailed videos, and then usually halfway through, maybe a little bit further through, I'll go get the certification right, so that I understand what's really going to be expected of somebody when they take it. And that's in ways that helps me too. I get to learn more about what somebody's going through. I understand when I take the exam, is it going to be exactly what I was expecting it to be?
Right.
And then I can get people, of course, information and comments about what they might be able to find when they show up as well.
That's really cool. I really like how this you know, activity you've created for yourself to do, because you're just like a sponge for knowledge now. You learn all the newest things. It's probably really, really fun, but I know how it is making videos. It's a lot of work. So this is
sometimes
great.
You get those videos where you can go through it in 15 minutes. It's one take.
Yeah.
You've got it down. You've got it. I've had videos though, especially with some of the more complex Microsoft videos where you are creating an image from a Windows machine. You're taking that image, you're loading it up, and then you're deploying it out to another machine that's completely bare bones and going from the bottom. That takes a day just to set up. It's like you're bringing in a crew that's right. Okay, the explosion's going to go off. You got one chance at this, go. And you shoot it and you hope for the best. Sometimes we have to do a little bit of tweaking in post-production, but sometimes it does take a while to finally get some of these things down in that digital form.
Oh, I can imagine. What a challenge. This is really cool. All right. What else did you want to talk about?
Well, it's interesting. I was talking with somebody the other day about A+, and we were going through, what is A+ doing these days? Is it really something I should be looking at? And I made the comment to them that if nothing else, if you don't even look at the technical part of the A+ certification, look at the customer service side of the A+ certification. There is a whole section of the exam on professionalism and another section of the exam on communication, not network communication, human communication. And that becomes so important, especially when you start looking at a small business,
sure,
because you don't have many opportunities to get somebody back in the door or get somebody on the phone again. And just this week, I was on the phone. I was dialing around to doctor's offices. I needed to have a particular thing done for one of my kids. I was trying to get an appointment. And it's remarkable when you're calling one of these professional companies and they pick up the phone, hello, and you aren't quite sure exactly who you just called. What do you want? That kind of thing. And it made me start thinking that that part of the A-plus exam in many ways is just as important as others. Another example, I was walking into there's a fast food restaurant in the Southeast, really in the Eastern United States, some on the West Coast, Chick-fil-A, probably yes. familiar with Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. If you notice when you go in there, if you ever say the word thank you to somebody who works there, they will always respond to you, my pleasure.
Really?
You can stand there and say thank you over and over again. And every time you say thank you, they will say my pleasure.
Really? I got to try that. There's one across.
You should. Their training on this is very, very specific. And they have a model. They have a presence. They have a design that wants to be sure that people who come into their restaurants will always have a very good experience when interacting with the people.
Right.
Now, they're selling delicious chicken. I love the chicken. But I know when I walk in that someone's always going to have that particular presence. And they're always going to be greeting me in a certain way. And I'm never going to have to worry about somebody pick up the phone and saying, hello.
Right.
And I'm not really sure where to go with that. So when you look at the A-plus and you think about what did they have to know to pass that certification, they had to know how to work with people who are very angry. We have people walking into these businesses. They've lost all of their family pictures or they're on a deadline from work. And they're going to be fired if this presentation doesn't turn out well on Monday. And they're coming to you now with their laptop that maybe have smoke kind of wafting off the top of it. They're saying, please help me. I'm so angry right now. I can't believe this is happening to me. Please fix this. And that frustration, of course, comes out. And how we deal with that becomes an important part of how people look at your company. And if that person comes back again to your organization to do more of that. And it's interesting, we don't think about that in a technical certification. But obviously, it is such an important piece that this consortium of companies that put together the A-plus said, yes, you need to know about the networking and you need to know about IP and you need to know about how to install Windows, but also make sure you put a point in there about how to work with human beings and how to communicate with them at a human level and understand how important professionalism is and how important the communication aspect is.
That's in the A-plus?
That is all in A-plus.
I did not
Certainly
know
is.
That. I can't believe that, frankly.
It's very common that people have never, well, or they perhaps they've heard of A-plus, but it was from so long ago that none of these things were in there. It was one of these certifications that perhaps you could just walk in and take and you could pass. And they've really worked hard to bring it up to a level that would be relevant, especially in today's environments.
That really is amazing. So there's like questions about how would you what would you say to a customer that came in irate and worried about his data, like stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And in our videos, we talk about empathizing with people
because right.
we've all had this happen.
Of
we've
course.
All lost hard drives. We've all suffered from problems and anger at having something happen to our computer and that horrible feeling and being able to connect with someone and say, oh, I had exactly the same problem. I know though, there's some things we can do to help resolve this. I have tools. We've done this before for people. Let's see what we can do for your computer and bring them back to that level so that they understand you're there to help them. You can resolve these problems for them. Let's see what you can do. You don't want to be in a position where somebody is just even more angry after they come in with something like that. It's very hard to recognize though. And when you're hiring somebody and trying to figure that out, sometimes I've been in these situations where I've applied for a job where they put you in a scenario where you do some role playing and they say, I'm somebody walking in. Tell me how you would handle this. And they walk in angry and they want to see how you react to that and how you might resolve some of these issues. And it even comes down to other little things. I talk about some organizations having a bowl of candy out in the front of their desk. Technical people, people who are not technical, aren't sure if they should talk to you. They aren't sure how to approach you or how to really interact with you at that level. Sometimes having a center, whether it's candy, whether it's something where you can talk to what somebody is doing there, helps bring things together as well. It creates an environment where people can sit down, grab a piece of candy, pop it in their mouth, talk about where their problems are, figure out where to go next with this, and then keep that communication aspect going after they leave the room.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Never thought about any. I actually never thought about that. Being a geek for so long, I never, it was hard to step out of that and view how I would, I guess I could relate to it as far as like maybe taking my car in for service because I don't know anything about cars or,
yep,
you know,
right,
taking some type of appliance somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, I could see that if you don't really have the reality on the problem you're having, you could be very backed off. And so, yeah, creating a friendly environment is a great idea for a shop. We haven't even talked too much about that. It's a great tip. And everybody likes candy.
Everybody likes candy. just throw the Werther's in there, put some Tootsie Rolls, whatever it happens to be, those little hard candy ones I'm a sucker for. So put anything in there. I'll stand there and talk to you, if nothing else. I'm not sure how productive that will be,
right,
but I'm hanging out and munching on the Jolly Ranchers. Absolutely.
I like Tootsie Rolls.
There you go. So all of you listening, those are what, just put a combination of those in. We'll be fine.
Exactly. Great. All right. What else you got on the line up here?
There is somebody I was speaking with who was talking about certifying people. So they've now hired someone in who's not certified, but they'd like to get them to a certain level in the organization. And one of the number one concerns that comes up when you talk to a large organization like CompTIA that's trying to train people and get people certified is, I don't want to have to train all these people. What happens if they leave? I'm putting a huge investment in this. What happens if they go away?
Good point.
And I kind of have to spin it back around for people and say, you're thinking about it the wrong way. You're training people so that they will be a better asset for you and what you're doing. People leave for many reasons, and they can go off and do something else. And you can't keep people there forever. We know that. There are some people, though, that are very, very much would like to learn more. And by learning more, they're going to feel that they can do more in the organization. You can move them up. And you should, of course, be thinking about those things from a management perspective. But the real thing you should be thinking of is, my staff knowledgeable enough? Do they know everything they need to know to be able to do what they need to do for me? And fortunately, some of the tools and some of the videos that we provide are helping to bring those costs down a little bit. So we're hoping that we can get people thinking the other way, that don't worry about people leaving the organization so much. Think about having people stay and be more knowledgeable with what they're doing. And when more people come in, they may need more training as well. You may even want to consider setting aside part of your annual budget just for those types of things, to have those videos there, to have them point to YouTube, to have an hour every week for them to sit down and watch the latest videos of what's going on. There's unfortunately not enough of this. And that's one of the challenges that I run into, is that I'm setting up all of these videos on the internet. There are so many more that could be done. There are so many other opportunities to build technical videos. And I think that that we're starting to see a little more of this happen. We have the PodNet series. We have the Professor Messer things. You can find other videos and other podcasts that provide such valuable information. It's now a matter of finding those and getting our people up to the level they should be for the things that they need to learn in their organization.
I agree. So are you just, you're saying don't, as a management perspective, don't focus on, is your guy going to leave, your employee going to leave? Hire somebody good, assume he's going to stay, and just train the heck out of him.
Just train him. There is a place that you can always find other people that want to come in. But when you've trained somebody, they've now been through the ideas of, how do I talk to people? Because maybe they've gone through the A+ certification there. And now you'll notice people start changing the way they interact with their customers. I worked for one organization where we were in sales, and they sent us off for a few days to take a class on how to give presentations. Literally filming you give a presentation, you talk to people. How do you walk around the room? How do you hold your arms? How do you speak with people and look at them in the eye? It's those little things. And we need to have that same level of detail all the way down to the people who are working in our organization. There's to take it out of the technical world for a moment and more into the business side, one of the guys I like to read is Tom Peters. I don't know if you've ever seen his books before. Here's the one I got hooked on, Tom Peters, right here. It's The Pursuit of Wow. Put that right up there.
Cool.
You should grab some of these books from Tom Peters, who is a business person, but his focus is on making companies better. And if you've ever seen a company go by that is an air conditioning company, it's a plumbing company, it's, you're taking your car in to get it repaired, and you've noticed that this company is doing much better than others are.
Right.
He starts to answer the questions on, why is that? Why are they able to do things differently? His latest book that I'm just now getting into reading, it's actually a couple of years old, maybe a year old, is 163 ways to pursue excellence. And one of the things he focuses on is the little things. You know, very often we're concerned in our businesses about getting our website up, getting the cost of how to resolve a malware problem on the website so people can see how much that costs. But there's so many other little things that are wrapped around that, all the way to the point of maybe the candy. I'll come back to that again. I bought a number of these audio pieces of equipment. This microphone, in fact, I got from BSWUSA.com. So it's a broadcaster's website I go to. When the microphone showed up, inside of the box was a thank you note and a piece of candy attached to it. You can tell what motivates me, by the way, just spending a lot of time on candy. But I'm looking at this and saying, I bought a microphone. There could be nothing more technical than this Heil PR40 microphone that I spent time trying to figure out what I should buy. I found a place online that had it. I bought it, and they put inside the box that little note. Now, it was just a note. It was just a piece of candy, but it changed my perspective of how I thought about them. And another good example, we were talking about this prior to me getting online, is I had a throat lozenge in my mouth. I was preparing for this. I wanted to clear my throat out a little bit. And it was a Halls Mentholyptus. And I was looking at it, and on the Halls Mentholyptus, on the wrapper, they have started to put little motivational things. You believe this? I'm going to open one right now.
No, I can't believe
it. Aside. And on the wrapper is things that say, high five yourself. A pep talk in every drop.
Are you serious?
Don't wait to get started. Now imagine, you can't even see it because it's too blurry, and you can almost see it right there.
Wow.
So this is the type of thing, though. Somebody thought, how can we make this experience? Somebody's sick. They're in bed. They're watching TV. They tried to get a stuffy nose. And they're thinking, how can we make their day just a little bit better?
Right.
And that's what I started doing. That's what Tom Peters talks about in his books, about how you can take those little moments, those little opportunities, and turn it around, because we know we're all competing against the big box shops. We're all competing against the Best Buys of the world, the Office Depots, and those other large organizations that are fixing computers, and they're a big company, and they've got a lot of marketing out there that they're able to do, and they're on television. And there's things that they're able to do that we're not, but there's opportunities out there that we could take advantage of, and we may not even realize where those opportunities are. And I like his books because they make you think about where you might be able to make that happen.
Yeah, where you might be able to make it happen. That's an interesting point. But I've talked about it before, and I always thought that if you can deliver to somebody something that's better than they expected, and I've read this in books too as well, you're golden. I mean, that's pretty much all you got to do. When I talk about in Podnuts, I've talked about it through the years, like give good customer service. And I say just good, because there's so much bad customer service out there that even if you just give good, you're ahead of the game. Now, if you give great customer service and you do these little things, like whenever I would fix laptops, I would wipe them down and make them all nice and shiny and use clean the screen off and get all the dirt off and vacuum them out and blow all the dust out before I gave everyone back. So they'd always get something better back better than what they expected, different from the condition they brought it in as far as cleanliness. Maybe they weren't expecting that. Those little things, if you do them, you're golden. It's a really good way to exchange with people. And it like you said, we're competing with the big box stores, but you do these little things, people will keep coming back to you because the big box stores are probably not doing them, or maybe they're doing them, but it's not working out too good. But it's not too hard. You can't think about the big competition around you. Just do an amazing job at what you're doing, and you're going to see great results from that. And that includes the little things. I do have to check out his books. That sounds pretty cool.
I don't know. If somebody gave me my laptop back and it was cleaned up, I'm not sure I would trust that it was my laptop. I'm not sure I would recognize that it was my laptop coming back. Whose machine is this? It's so clean.
I'm serious. I had to, like, my dad was working for me, and I had to tell him every time, clean it. Just clean it up. Clean it up. So, because he didn't think that it was something important. And I was thinking with the business side of it, like, yes, if they get it back a clean laptop, it's a little bit better.
It makes perfect sense.
If you give me a sec, we're going to pause for a little break, James. Is that cool? We're going to do an ad for our sponsor.
Great.
I don't know if you guys have heard about Screen Connect. ScreenConnect.com. It is remote support software. And I'm happy to say that they are sponsoring Podnuts. I think it's cool software because a lot of techs who listen to the show, or guys, you don't even have to have your own business to fix other people's computers remotely, they need a good, solid remote support setup. I'm sure people have used different ones online that you found, and there's some free ones and things of that nature. But what I like about Screen Connect is a couple things they do a little different than the others. Number one is you host the software on your machine. You don't have to log into another server to remote into somebody else's machine. You do it from your machine. So you have complete control of that. And it's very customizable. This is what I like about it. I always say, like, nothing against Apple and iPhones, but I always say, like, Screen Connect is the Android to the other remote support softwares being like the iPhone. And the fact that you're not closed in here, there's so much customization you could do that you can literally make this software your baby. You can brand it with your company's name. You install it on your machine. It's a one-time fee. You don't have to pay monthly, so it's yours. Now, before you worry about the fee, all I ask is that you go to screenconnect.com and download the free trial and try it. You got to give it a chance because, like I said, it's customizable. It's going to ask you to answer questions when you try to install it. It's going to know exactly what you want done. You get past that installation and you're golden. It works great. Some of the things that they are featuring on the software is they support Mac, Windows, and Linux for the client machines. But if you're the host and you're the person doing the remoting in, you could run it on Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, and iOS for the technicians. Let's see, they're constantly upgrading. The software is being taken care of, and you know, feedback is being taken into consideration. So there's constant work on the software to bring it up to date and keep it up to date. They have active development with 4 to 6 builds a year. Great customer support. I called them a couple times, and they passed my test as far as knowledgeable, good people that actually can have a conversation, and I was really impressed. So give Screen Connect a shot. It's at screenconnect.com. Tell them that Podnuts sent you, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it and be using that for your remote support software. All right, James, back to you.
Howdy. The interesting part when we start talking about communication, especially with these remote desktop, remote communications products, is how we now get that aspect of communication back to the customer. We may not even physically see them ever. And obviously, there are a number of people who in the Podnuts community that are doing very well with doing almost everything or a huge amount of what they're doing remotely.
Yes.
And there is a big opportunity there to do that type of thing. I know, because I'm my remote technical guy from my family. I would love to push that off on someone else because I travel a lot and I'm usually doing this over the phone, over a remote connection to their computer to make this happen. And all of those things still apply that we've talked about already. Being able to talk with somebody, understand what they're doing. In some ways, what you're doing technically isn't as important as how you're able to handle somebody, communicating with them, being professional. They don't see you. So all you have is your voice and able to talk to them, what they're doing.
Yeah, your voice and the ease. Like when I tested the software, I was relieved when I finally got to the point where I realized that to log into somebody else's machine, it was a very simple process for them, not for the technician, even though that's easy too. For them, that's what I wanted. And once I installed a browser extension that allows Screen Connect to go in with like a one click, it's just super simple for the customer. They just click a link and boom, they're in, you're in. And that whole thing, making it easy for the other side, is what really made me go, okay, this is somebody I want to support. So
nice.
I agree that is huge. You don't want to have to have them install like downloaded files and install this and install that and log into this and type this password and all this stuff. But it's available if you want it there. But when I got it to the point where I'm like, all right, one click, boom, in. Yeah, that goes a long way. You don't want a non-technical person to have to struggle with this. So
there were a number of people. I was reading through the chat room on Justin while we were talking through the commercial and going through some of these things. And someone brought up the point that none of their customers have ever asked if they were certified. And I would never even think that someone who is outside of IT would even know to ask for something like that. I thought that was a very, very good point that they were making, is that nobody's asking. So should I really bother having my people certified? And I'm going to turn it around again and say, you shouldn't be waiting for them to ask you if your people are certified. You should be using that as a marketing tool. That is a very big differentiator. You don't see the big box companies talking about how certified their people are. And if I've got my computer, which has my financial records, my pictures, all of my everything I use to run my business, to run my family, to run my house, all my streaming media, it's an extremely important device for me. So they want to go to somebody they trust. And if you're constantly promoting the fact that our techs are certified, you don't even necessarily have to say A-plus certified or Cisco certified or Microsoft certified. You just have to explain that we know what we're doing here. There's a purpose to how we, as a business, have decided to provide this service to the rest of our community. And every one of our people is certified. It's certainly worth a check mark and something you could put in your marketing materials to say, we're the most certified place in town. We're the most certified place in the tri-state area, because everybody has a tri-state area. So that's one of those opportunities for you. And it's another way that you could take this investment that you're making in people, and you've worried, are they going to leave? And am I worried about people who are being certified? Again, turn it around and make that a positive for your organization. It's going to turn into something where you're investing, but you're also able to get that back in the marketing and the outreach and your branding of your organization.
I think it's brilliant. Brilliant. Use it as a marketing tool. Of course, if you say we are certified, just put it in your promotional materials. And if you have a shop, put it right on the big letters in front of your shop. Oh, that would be killer. People want that. I think people definitely would want that. Very smart.
There was another comment made in the chat room about, are these certification exams really legitimate? Are there things that people are able just to walk in, spend 15 minutes, walk out, they've gotten every question right, and they're on their way? I would even say that in the past, there was probably quite a bit of that going on. The exams were created with things you just had to memorize. I need to know what the IRQ is of a parallel port. Memorize it. I need to know how many pins are on this SIM. Those are the types of things you don't see a lot in these certification exams. There's certainly things you do have to memorize, but what they've now moved to is more of, here's a problem you've run into where somebody started their computer and now it doesn't work anymore. Or they log in, as soon as they log in, it hangs. What's the first thing you should look at to start troubleshooting that issue? And that's because that's where people are really suffering. That's the part people want to know. How can I make sure somebody understands how to fix these computers?
Right.
And so now we've now changed the certification exams quite a bit. I also noticed that organizations like CompTIA have done a very good job at tracking down and getting rid of these websites that are posting questions and answers that are so close to what's on the exam. And they've said, if we find out that you've been using these resources or that you've been using these unauthorized training materials, we will not only not allow you to take the exam, if you have any of our certifications, we will revoke those as well. I think it's an important self-policing part of what they are doing in the industry. Otherwise, these certification exams just wouldn't be worth very much at all.
No, I think it's important that, and it's good that these are getting improved on a yearly basis. I mean, it's better than, you know, if you came to me and said, like, Steve, these exams, they're a joke now. You know what I mean? Because they could have had the chance to go that way. But it's good that these companies do care and are trying to make them so that the exams are legit and they actually create good technicians. I think it's good, and it also is great for you and your website.
I think there's an opportunity here for all of us just to make people smarter, to get them where they need to go. And I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I can put these things on the internet, I can make people aware of what's there, and they can learn and they can get trained on it. And it's great that I get emails and messages every day. I've used your videos, now I'm certified, and I got a job.
Right.
Which is even great to hear that somebody's now moving up and doing things they want to do because they love what they're doing. When we look at these businesses we have also of taking care of people's computer, fixing the problems that they have, we also run into these challenges of having people aware of what's going on. We talked a little bit about branding just a moment ago, about having people know that we've got certified folks. One of the things that's worked very well for me was to build the community of people that are there. And for most of our companies that are doing these repair and resolution services for these laptops and PCs, and you've got your own business, generally it's a local company. And I spoke earlier that we've had to learn Google Local, and we've had to understand how to advertise on the web. But there's also a component that we very often don't take advantage of, which is to bring all this back to a central community of people. There is even an unorthodox ways to get your name out there and what you're doing. There is an organization I ran into that is locally going out to events. They are arts and crafts events. They are now it's football season. There's these pregame football events that are going on, and they're going out and they're not fixing anybody's computer, but they've now started a service where they will put a protector on your mobile device because everybody's got their phone with them. They're out at the party. They're out at the tailgate, and they say, oh, I've got, you've got a Nexus S, you've got the new Samsung, you've got an iPhone, whatever it is. And they've got the protectors right there and they'll put on for them right there. And the more important part is talk to them. They're not making a lot of money from that.
You mean like cases?
They're like the protective shields, like the plastic to go over the screen to protect the screen.
Right.
And they said, we're not making a lot of money on it, but a couple of things. First, we get to be out here at the party. So that's kind of fun. And my employees get to be here. So already it's a fun environment. It's out at the office. I get to put my name up and my branding up. And every time I put this on someone's phone, they also get a pamphlet. They get a sticker to put on their computer. They get something to go with them. And we can tell them about the other things that we're doing. Oh, next time you have a problem with your computer, come see the guys that were here at the party with you that put this on your phone. We'll give you there's a money back guarantee on this if it ever causes a problem over the next 6 months, and many other things that go along with that. So they weren't actually fixing anything. They are a company that fixes computers. But what they were doing was so different than fixing. It was all marketing. And there was, of course, a technical aspect to it. I hate putting those things on and I forget them right and have to pull them off and they stick to each other. I like the idea of having someone else do that for me. But I also like the idea that they were using it as an outreach, as they were using it as marketing. Yeah, these are my guys. They're all, you're running Windows. These guys are all certified Windows right here. They can absolutely take care of these problems. We have a special right now. We'll bring in a hard drive. We'll set it up. You push one button, it'll back up everything on your machine. Right. Now you don't have to worry about that piece of it. It was just a great opportunity for them to interact with the public and build that community, because that's so hard to do when all you've got is a website and you're hoping for the best.
Sure. Well, how do they market that? They said, we will come to your party. Like, I don't get it. How did they present that service?
In this particular case, it was a public event. It was like a city event or an event that's run by an organization.
Gotcha.
So it might be you buy a booth, you just set up a table.
Right. Gotcha.
It was like $20, you got a table.
And did they charge for the screen protectors, or was it just free?
No, they charged for the screen protectors and they got them wholesale, but so the cost wasn't horrible. They just doubled that cost and put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was a very unique way to do it, especially given that there's so many difficult ways. That was their Halls Mentholyptus moment of it's a turn can do into can did. That was their moment right there.
I'm gonna go buy some Halls and just be enlightened.
Just brilliant.
That's good stuff. Oh yeah, marketing is key. And well, I mean, I'm sure you know about community, and even just your website, the community you've probably built around that is probably exceptional. And I know what happened with the Podnuts community, the way the Podnuts website, you know, the Podnuts community that formed around that. Mm-hmm. Community is huge. And yeah, if you get a good name in your local community as your business, there's tons of fun. You're right. There's tons of fun ways that companies can go and do that and put themselves in situations where it's not hard work. It's actually enjoyable being in a spot and you still get your name and brand out there. That's good stuff.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to break any of those rules that marketing people, and I can say this because in the technical world, at a corporate level, I was in technical marketing for a large software company at one time in my life. And so don't be thrown by the things that you're told you're supposed to do and you're not supposed to do.
Right.
One of the things I started was a daily pop quiz. And what I would do is have people sign up for an email, and every day I send them an email with a question. And to get the answer, they have to click through to the website and see what the answer is. So I don't give them the answer on that email. They have to be able to think about it to know what it is. But if you talk to a marketing person, they'll say, well, you don't want to send too many emails. You don't want to spam people. You don't want to be in a situation where you're sending emails on the wrong day. You have to send it on a Tuesday or Thursday and at about 10 o'clock local time.
Right.
Or they have this formula of what they do.
Right.
So I just didn't listen to any of that.
Right.
And I just start sending them out every day. Every day, if you sign up on this list, you'll get an email from me. So now we're at about 5,000 people a day get an email from me. And if you ever talk to a marketing person, their ears will explode.
Right.
They'll go crazy. You can't do that. And what I found is if I miss a day, if I'm late and getting that email out, people are emailing me
and
saying, where's my email? Where's my question of the day? they're begging me now for this content to be able to provide that because it's valuable. And that's the real key piece of this. How can we provide something valuable to somebody? It takes me 30 minutes a night. I type it up. I put it on here. I've got a process behind the scenes that automatically sends these things out for me, posts it on my Twitter automatically, puts it on my Facebook page automatically. But it's one of these things that I'm getting open rates that are 25% and higher for this email.
Wow.
And if you've ever done anything with email marketing, you know, 4 and 5% is phenomenal.
Right.
Having 25% of the people open it that I can measure opening that is an enormous thing. There may be an opportunity there for your organizations. If you don't have an email list, get an email list. I know that we talk about Facebook and we talk about Twitter and we talk about all these Google Pluses and other ways to be on the social network. But quite honestly, and I certainly do that, but quite honestly, email is still the king at being able to communicate with people. And if you don't have any way on your website to have a box that says, please join our mailing list, you're missing an opportunity. Get people on your mailing list and send them content. Don't let that stagnate. Do a newsletter once a week, once a month, whatever it happens to be. I keep telling people there's an opportunity here for someone just to create a generic newsletter and sell it to other people so they can send it out to their mailing list. It's so hard to put these things together sometimes. But if you talk about something that happened during the week and things that you can do that helps build that community and gets people remembering when they have a problem with their computer, oh yeah, I get that newsletter every month and they go through some crazy stuff. Let me take it to them. They'll know what to do.
Well, you read my mind. I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks for myself with Podnuts, getting a mailing list together. So you are definitely going to see that soon, guys. If you do want to do, I'm going to take a cue from what James is doing here. It's just a very smart idea. So, and you're delivering content to them. You're giving them something that's not, it's not your, you're not pitching something every single day. You're giving them a question and making them think and making them smarter. So it's a good thing.
I can point to many Twitter feeds and many Facebook pages that do it completely wrong. It is a repository of their press releases.
Right.
It is a notice about them waving a flag that they were at a trade show. That doesn't help me. Right. I don't really care that you were at a trade show. Tell me at a trade show that you heard an interesting story.
Right.
And here's the story that comes back to what you do as an organization. Or give me a pop quiz every day, every week, every month. And tell me something. Help me learn something more about what I'm doing. And for those of you that are now at the point where you've got the Podnuts now videos, you're listening to those, you've got your email list going. Now maybe also consider doing some video. And it's so easy now to do video, to put it on YouTube, to create something very specific for your community to create those things. When people can see you, it makes a huge difference on how they can trust you and trust your business. One of the things that was so important when I started ProfessorMesser.com, I'd already created a lot of other videos before. I'd already created a lot of other content for other companies, but none of them had my face in the video as I was doing it. And if you watch any of the Professor Messer videos, you always see me. You always see me talking to you. You always see me up in the corner. You see my big screen. Maybe I'm typing. You can see me typing and I'm talking to you, but the whole time you can see me up in the corner. And that's another place where I just ignored people that said you should never do that.
Right.
Because I really feel that brings people closer to what you're doing. It keeps your interest in what's going on. And if someone can see you and see your organization and see you talking to them about why they should bring their technology to you, they're going to trust you that much more.
I totally agree. In fact, when I was selling and I still sell it, the Tech Site Builder website kit for technicians to have their own website. Yes, I know it needs SEO enhancement. I know. Get lay off of me. It works for me. All right. No, the thing was about it, and I strongly urged people, and I did it in the videos, when you put a picture, because there's a spot where you put a picture up either of your shop or something, I would strongly urge put a picture of yourself fixing a computer. And that's what I'm going to do when I update the kit. I'm going to stress that even more because it just creates this reality with the customer that you are a person, you're dressed well, you have a screwdriver in your hand, you know what you're doing, and it just builds like an instant reality with the person. Whereas if there's nothing there, they're not going to know if you're legit or if you're a robot or what. So you're right. Putting your face, putting you into the picture, especially if you're trying to build a communication line with somebody, is huge. It just gives them great reality that who you are and that you exist. So,
I'm not saying it's easy. Have you ever gone back and looked at some of your very, very early podcasts?
I try not to.
I've gone back and looked at some of my early stuff. It is painful. At one point, I was even doing it with a script, with me reading and looking. Hello, my name is James, and today we are going to learn about Windows.
Yes,
it was painful, and I'm really sorry for everybody who watched those back then. But you get better and you learn how to do it. Maybe you bring another person in to help you with it and you're having just a conversation and somebody happens to be recording it on a video. And I get that that part's hard, but when people are able to make that connection with you, it really is valuable.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, and it's just the number of times you do it, James. I mean, like I did listen to a couple of my shows recently and it's just the number of times you do it just gives you you start to get better and more natural and flow. So I'm sure that's what happened with you with your videos. That's pretty funny.
And people keep me honest whenever I do this, whenever I create a video and I'll make a mistake, I'll say something wrong. I don't realize I've said something wrong. I'll say something misspelled on a slide or I just put the wrong content in. I just don't even know what I'm talking about apparently. And I've just put the wrong thing in here and said it. Oh, I'll get the emails. Right. They'll tell you immediately that you've made a problem with that. You need to fix this. And of course, I'm mortified. I go back, I fix the problem. We clean it up in post-production. Maybe I re-record part of it. You're going to go through that. You're going to make mistakes with those types of things. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Definitely. That's your community, though. That's your community.
It is. You should build it.
Very cool, man. All right. We have a voicemail and an email, unless you have anything else you wanted to go over first, James.
I am out of material.
All right. This is an email from our voicemail. There I go again with that famous mistake I always make. From Door to Door Geek, calling into the show. Let's hear what the man has to say. Here we go.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Podnuts. Door Geek, a.k.a. Stephen Lachman. Yes, I know I said it in that order. I want to reiterate what Ralph said the other day on Podnuts Daily. Very smart man. Night Night is a great thing to run on a computer you get in your shop just to make sure all of the software is up to date instead of by hand going and downloading updates or opening applications, checking for updates. That takes too much time. Night Night cuts through and just does whatever's out of date. It instantly updates. You can't beat it. Good man, Ralph. Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you later, Steve. Bye.
Awesome, Door. Thank you very much. He was talking about that the software or the website Night Night, where funny name, Ninite. It's killer if you're a tech. I'm sure you know about it. If you don't know about it, go check it out because it will ease your life. It will create.
What a great site.
Yes. It puts sanity into life as a technician. So thank you, Dor, and thanks, Ralph, for bringing it up on the last Podnuts Daily. Here we go. This is a good one for you, too, James. This is from Raphael. He says, playing with Google Plus on my phone, I have seen the comments of other people near my location, which I think is a good business opportunity to expand. What do you think? It's his question, basically asking, Google Plus, is it a marketing tool? You know, is it good? Could you use it for your business? What do you think, James?
I you have to be careful. There's that creep line. You know the creep line I'm talking about. Not going slow creep. I mean you being a creep that you don't want to go over. You don't want to seem like you're stalking anyone.
Right.
Want to seem like you're, especially if you're a business, that you are violating someone's privacy. We're also sensitive to that on the internet. But it very commonly, and I've tried some of these other things. I've tried going out and using things like Foursquare, using those other location-centric social networking things. And in certain situations, it can be really, really useful. I mentioned the organization that was out that were doing screen protectors. You're at a big public event. What a great opportunity to put something out there that says, hey, we're out here at this event. If you are here, stop by, tell me you read this on Google Plus. I'll give you an extra discount off or whatever it happens to be, just to see how valuable it is for you. Perhaps not something you can use when you're sitting in your office, but in large organizations, especially or large events like that, trade shows or other types of large events, you should absolutely take advantage of some of those things.
Yes, I agree. And this is like something you have to try. This is untapped. I know Lisa from Call That Girls is doing good with social marketing, networking, and it depends. It's how you use it. Like you said, you don't want to become a creep, but not quite figured out yet the best way to do this and what people are willing to accept in their feeds. You know what I mean? But You know, I've put it off as long as I could with Facebook and as far as marketing on those sites, but it's, you know, that's where people are and that's what they're talking and that's where they talk. My whole consideration on the whole thing was, well, business is not what they're talking about. But see, I think I'm wrong. So they're there and they're talking, but it's like going into somebody's house when they're having a party and going, I'm here to fix your computer. You know, it's like, that's how I feel sometimes. So I haven't really personally went and got into the whole social marketing thing, but I'm sure somebody will explain to me why I'm an idiot for not having done that and what they do. So yeah, I'm actually looking forward to some emails back. How do you guys are using like social marketing for your business, and does it work? Are people accepting it? Is it good
stuff? We're still not quite certain about this, of course. You read TechCrunch, you read some of the industry magazines, the industry trades online, and their websites, they're investing in it. It's a really cool technology, but how are they going to be a profitable organization, a profitable business with that technology? And then how are you going to use it to be able to do something with that? And I love that the Podnuts community tries these things. I love hearing the stories from Call That Girl and what she's done recently. Is there's always a story about what she's been able to accomplish with some of these technologies, because we really are all trying to figure it out right now.
Yes, exactly. We are all trying to figure it out. And some people, like you said, are dumping a lot of money into it. Don't necessarily have to do that, guys. But I mean, a lot of these services are free. If you just come up with a bright idea of how you could figure out how to use them, you might do really well. So.
Well, I'm planning some get-togethers. I'm doing a presentation in London in the year. I plan on getting a lot of people together. Any opportunity to be in a pub, I think, is a good opportunity. So I'm going to try to take advantage of some of those.
Let us know, James, how that works out for you.
I will.
Curious. All right, man. Well, it's been a fantastic show. I mean, I really appreciate you coming on and brought some great stuff, marketing tips. I love them. I love those clutch marketing tips. And who is that author again of those books?
This is Tom Peters.
Okay.
Go to the Podnuts website, click the Amazon link,
nice,
and have a look at his books.
Very good. Any last comments, James, before we end off? Definitely plug your site again.
Absolutely. Go to professormesser.com. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, go to professormesser.com/Twitter. If you'd like to follow me on Google Plus, professormesser.com/Google+, professormesser.com/Facebook. You get the idea. You can find me anywhere.
Yes. I have a feeling if you Google Professor Messer, you will find him. Well, I want to thank James. I want to thank everybody who tuned in to watch live and everybody who's downloading and however you're watching and absorbing the content, which is what you should be doing. You, as a sponge, absorb this content and use it in your life. That's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today, and we'll see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.